Sure is. Adam Hall with us as well, and your phone calls as we talk about the Earth Keeper right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back, Adam Hall with us. We'll take your calls. Adam, when you've talked to people or you've addressed businesses, what's their reaction to the Earth Keeper concept?
Curious, to say the least. Of course, life is the planet's full of plenty of skeptics, so we do get quite a few skeptics. But I have been making calls to corner offices from Wall Street out to Main Street, so to speak, and really addressing people that are really in the business world and obviously moving large amounts of money and doing significant, quote unquote, significant things, as well as others that are just in the conversation. And the idea, George, of undevelopment, it sparks a curiosity, not only from in their own lives, but really like, how is it that we can kind of take away some things from our economic model or what we're doing, and yet have that be something that is ostensibly beneficial. So we're having some great conversations about how taking away a few things really that aren't working, that aren't serving this planet, that aren't serving companies, that aren't serving CEOs or just everyday people in their own way, but take away a little something, because ultimately it's making room or something that you can do that is more sustainable and yet ultimately lead to more prosperity. So we're having fun with it, but I do meet a fair share of skeptics, but for the most part, very optimistic, and I'm having fun with it.
What do you see as the most positive aspect of all of this, Adam?
The most positive aspect, if I was going to put it in one word, it would be preservation. Preservation of life as we kind of know it, to fulfill a quality of life. Because I think like you, George, with your family and whatnot, we're looking for that quality of life and that greater connectivity. And so ultimately, if we find that connectivity with the environment and we live in harmony, so to speak, with our surroundings, our environmental surroundings, then we're in a place of greater balance. So preservation is a result, a direct result, an outcome of choosing to live and engage in your life, whether it's in your business or your personal life, is a direct outcome. And preservation is pretty darn good, because ultimately we are faced with a lot of challenges and threats from numerous sources. So preservation is what I would elaborate upon.
Have you come across any resistance to the idea, to the plan?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily say it's an exact plan, so to speak, but certainly it's a practice and a model. And there is resistance, because when we think of things in terms of what is coherent, meaning what is it that we can understand, what is it that is based upon a greater good of our business and our family and our community and our environment, when we think of that, that doesn't necessarily suit everybody's needs. Some folks, just like the timber company, their need is, let's just cut the forest down. And so there is resistance, and it's healthy, and it's to be expected. And I'm thankful for it, because ultimately it leads to conversation. It leads to questioning of our values in the kind of ways that we want to conduct ourselves. So it's a good resistance. It's a healthy resistance that's creating results that I think are ultimately leading in the right direction.
Is the United Nations involved in helping at all?
Well, United Nations is involved on numerous fronts, George, around the globe. It's such a collection of disparate interest. And so we've seen over the decades a kind of a mixed result. And they're active in terms of connecting various interests around the globe, around sustainability, around the environment, around our ecology, oftentimes sponsoring major international types of gatherings. And so they're doing good work in terms of holding and creating the conversations. It's yet to see the real action that is able to come from that. It's more of a conversation, a questioning, and dialogue and narrative, but yet to see a coherent type of action. I mean, you can just look at things like the Kyoto Treaty that have been hanging around for a few decades now. So there's a lot of that going on, and that needs to change as well. So good point on behalf of the UN, but you know, we got to keep showing up for these kind of conversations and really asking the right questions and taking the right action.
So for the individual, Adam, who wants to try to get involved in something like this, what are their first steps?
Well, the first steps are to really focus on your own personal relationship with your environment. And I'm talking total environment, and that means outer and inner environment. So if we're disconnected with one of those or the other of those, and we're not connected with both of those, then ultimately, and this is kind of what I found and part of the reason I wrote the book, The Earth Keeper, on Developing the Future, George, is if what good am I if I have that disconnection from my environment? And we really have NDD, with nature deficit disorder. So if we can kind of tune into our disorder around nature, and I certainly don't say that universally or lightly, I just say it, if we have that greater connectivity, then that's the first step. And that will allow us to effectuate other more purposeful things, namely, you know, how do we want to live a sustainable life? And that means how your business practice, from how you consume things, to the food, the quality of food you eat, all the way down to the kind of companies and products that we buy, and what is it that we're really supporting as we buy something? Is it in a food chain that comes from a factory of which they use child labor and have absolutely no regard for the environment? So it's important we ask these kind of questions, but the first action is the action that I found to take is essentially to clean up my own house, to put my own environment in order, if that makes sense.
Okay, let's go next to Charlotte in New York. Welcome to the show. Hello, Charlotte. Thank you.
Hi. Thank you, George. I was curious about, I am very concerned about chemtrails all over the whole world. They're dumping metals on the soil, which kill the trees, kill the plants. The metals are making the fires burn hotter, and they're changing the clouds, so causing drought. So if you can comment on that, that'd be great. Thanks, George, and thank you, okay. Mr. Hall.
All right.
Charlotte, great question. Thank you for calling in tonight. And I, too, have been observing what's been happening with that. And sure enough, the kimono on this one is opening up. And it's very much an issue. And what I'm advocating really around these type of various issues that are environmentally related, but ultimately it's an intrusion on people's lives. And I certainly witness it. We all witness it. What it really is in that we really need to gather this conversation and take it to the government that is really our government that is supporting these type of chemtrails and this other type of activity. So I'm with you. I support it. My sense is it's not the arena that we're active in, but it's part of the conversation that we're deeply concerned about, because degradation of the air is degradation of our environment and our lives. And so it really is time to show up for ostensibly an old way of dealing with weather and other types of patterns, to put that to an end, because it hasn't really served anything, at least from my understanding. I'm not a scientist on this, but there is good science coming out. So it's a good question, and I encourage everybody to Google it and really focus on this, amongst other things. So thank you, Charlotte, for bringing that to all of our attention tonight.
Can the planet be saved?
I have got a smile on my face, George, because it's a noble in them. It's a noble question.
It is, no question.
It really is, and I cannot fault anybody for wanting to bring this to the forefront. However, my sense of that question, George, is quite arrogant to think that human beings can save the planet. As a matter of fact, it's the other way around. The planet can save human beings. And the conversation that I'm having around this is really about, first and foremost, how we save ourselves, how we bring our own lives into greater balance and greater connectivity, not only with one another, because obviously we live in times of chaos and conflict and war and all these other type of disparities and things that are going on. But ultimately, the one thing that each of us can effectuate right now in our lives is the ability to bring ourselves into greater balance with the planet. So in doing that, what I found is that I am saving myself, and in the process, that serves the greater good of the planet, because no longer am I thinking as unconsciously as I did for much of my 52 years, George, about how I'm doing things and throwing things away and what I'm doing. Now it's about picking up trash and doing other things to reduce and substantially reduce carbon imprint, amongst other things. So we can save ourselves. We can't save our planet. Our planet's going to be perfectly fine, and do as she may, she will do that, whatever that may be. The best thing we can do is get on board and get on the program.
And you know, because you're balancing, of course, trying to make money for the fund and to preserve and do it, how does the fund make money? I mean, tell me a little bit about that.
Well, the economic model, and it's also a great point, because there's a birth, so to speak, of new economic models that is really coming forth right now. Not just in my around land and land conservation and real estate, but in other industries, and in, whether it's consumer goods or all kinds of things. But it's really about impact investing. And impact investing is investing dollars for profit, but also investing those dollars that support the planet, sustainable planet, our own personal ecology, as well as communities. And in the process of doing that, then the outcome is better for the whole. So that's a little bit of a mouthful, but ultimately the way that we go about it in our business is really about acquisition, acquiring properties for value. It's just value investing, like you're buying a home. You want to buy a home that is of good value. And then ultimately we repurpose it. We conserve the land. We do restoration work and biodiversity work around the property, layering in easements, what they call conservation easements. And what this is, George, is it is a program that allows, it's supported by the federal government, that supports land sustainability and conservation in perpetuity. In other words, it's forever. So in the process of doing this, it creates tax deductions. So our investors, we can utilize tax deductions for preserving the property, for lowering the development rights, for taking away future rights of the development, but keeping enough development that we can go off and at the end of the day sell off smaller parts of these properties to people that like to use and come to the land, and whether it's for their families or for their friends. But so we do a combination of conservation and utilizing the federal tax codes, as well as good old real estate fundamentals of selling off property for a profit at the end of the day. And it's an interesting model. It's a hybrid model, but we're starting to see that kind of thought process being applied in other industries. So it's kind of cool, and it's a neat development of what's going on.
Smart. Good for you. Let's go to the Big Island. Kaya's with us. Hi, Kaya. Go ahead.
Hi there. How you doing?
Good. And your name is my granddaughter's name. One of my
That's cool.
She spells. She spells it.
My name means granddaughter.
She spells it K A I A. How about you?
It's K I A Y A A.
Wow, that's different. Okay.
Yeah. So I've been doing some work for a nonprofit 503C, and we have this project. It's sort of a greenhouse project, and I've put a lot of work into researching and refining this project. And the whole idea is really in line with what you folks are talking about, and we'd like to grow endangered indigenous plant species and food and healing medicine. And we'd like to do this in 10 different locations on 10 different reservations across the United States. And what we're needing at this point is someone a little further along to maybe take us on as a project. And so I was wondering if there was maybe an email address or a way I could contact you and send you my packet and see if that, or get some guidance from you and see if you could point me in the right direction.
Well, thank you for your great work, and wonderful to hear you from the islands tonight. And of course, you know, you feel free to reach out and connect with us. You can do that. And I think the work that you're doing around plant species and maintaining the indigenous plants and in various locations is important work. And there's a lot of folks around the globe that are doing this and supporting this work. So I commend you for doing that, and definitely want to connect out there in the world with others doing the same. But you can reach us at the Earthkeeper Alliance, theearthkeeperalliance.com, and just put your name in there and connect. Send me a note, send it to Adam, and I'll be sure to take a look at what you have, and wish you all the best with that.
And we've got a link there for you on our website, Adam, so it's very easy for people to get to you. And, you know, hope you can help. That would be
Absolutely.
Novel. And what has been the biggest obstacle that you've had? Because I'm sure it hasn't come easy.
It hasn't. It hasn't, George. And the obstacles are certainly many. And I kind of practice a life that is about living on the edge a bit, George, and kind of playing the edge, because what I have found, if I'm not kind of risking failure, then I don't feel alive. And because of that, because I'm kind of out playing that in that space, in that arena, along comes great opportunity. But ultimately, along with great opportunity are the obstacles.
Let's talk a little bit more about that, Adam, and we'll take final phone calls next on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, investigative reporter Linda Bolton Howe joins us with some incredible stories of high strangeness. Make sure you're part of the show. We'll come back with final phone calls with Adam Hall on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, of course. Adam Hall with us for your final calls. At least you're developing the future. I wish there were 1,000 more people like you, Adam.
Well, thank you, George. And it is about development, and it's also about undevelopment, and they kind of go hand in hand. And it's really about what is it that we want to develop? How is it that we want to dreamed our life into being? And we get it. We have, you know, the blessing of humanity is we have a choice in how we do it, and we can do it by ourselves. We can do it together. And of course, now is a good time to really think about how do we want to do it, and where do we go from here?
And where do we go from here? That's the logical question, of course. Political leaders, anybody at the forefront here trying to help you?
The answer is not really. There's a lot of talk in this arena. Most of the political leaders that exist on the planet today are beholden to a big interest, and including our political leaders, very much so. We're probably the leaders in who we and what we are beholden to, and obviously our petrochemical based economy in the Western world, Eastern world too these days, is one that is hard to ignore. So the constituency that we're hearing our political leaders speak to is one, it's kind of two sides or two-faced, if you ask me, because in one hand, they're saying one thing, and another thing, there's another interest that they're very much listening to. So ultimately, the result of that, George, from leadership is kind of stagnation. It's less action, although we're starting to hear about action. You know, it's never too late to take action on various environmental issues and other issues, but ultimately the same old practice and the same old paradigm is still very much alive and exists around the world. So we haven't seen leaders like Mandela or Gandhi or some of these other type of leaders that are galvanized our greater humanity around a cause and around the greater well-being and vitality of not just our planet, but our humanity. So we're certainly would be in great need and welcome those type of voices. And hopefully we'll be hearing more from these great visionaries that are amongst us.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. We'll go to KJ in Ashland, Oregon, west of the Rockies. Hi, KJ.
Hi, George. Adam, I cannot thank you enough for your work. And, you know, as we all know, it's so timely right now, more than ever. I had a question which I'd like to take off air, the answer off air, and also a suggestion. The question is, how can we express personal responsibility in light of your philosophy and your work? And what is the take home? What can we do to assist you in our everyday life? And my suggestion is, I found it difficult to get to sleep at night without saying a prayer for the earth. And at the same time, I find myself aware that my prayers are polluted, to say the least. You know, they're filled with worry, and they're fraught with, you know, I need this outcome. I want this outcome. And I find that I don't thank the earth as I should. And so what I, sitting alone outside in this incredible, in Oregon, with this tapestry above me of at night is just astonishing. And what I came to know is that if I envision the earth and then place the earth in a light blue egg, which it's my understanding is a Native American visualization for protection. If I place the earth in a light blue egg and just watch it kind of pulse with light and be purified and cleansed and feel love and express gratitude, and that it is so satisfying. And I wanted to share that in case other people would like to do that as well. So, but I do want to know, in your opinion, what is it that we can do? And I'll take the answer off air. Thank you, thank you, thank you both.
Okay, you're very welcome. What can you do, Adam?
Well, thank you, KJ, and love Ashland. What a gorgeous part of this country and gorgeous part of the earth. And we can do a lot of things. And the idea and the courage to have the vision like you're sharing around the egg and some various things, those are all good, and imagination is certainly good. Yet at the end of the day, it's we want to, as the Native Americans say, as you reference, how do we grow corn with it? In other words, what can we really do to effectuate greater change. And first and foremost, and I, as I have kind of referenced along the conversation tonight with you, George, is that expression and that action really must come from not as a reaction from the outer events. And I found this out because ultimately, if I was engaging in the chaos and the conflict and the war and the environmental degradation and the politicians fighting and climate change, that is a pretty daunting view of things and quite overwhelming. But ultimately, when I chose to engage in the inner world of, you know, who I am and what my gifts are and begin to share the story, it's amazing, as you know, George, from over the years doing your show, sharing the narrative, which you thank you for having me tonight to share the narrative, my narrative. But to each of us, if we can share our narrative about our story, about our feelings, like KJ was sharing tonight, this is really important to stand up and share that narrative, because in the action of the narrative and the story comes forth your gift, comes forth a greater healing in our life, and comes forth ideas and actions we can take not only in our own homes but in our communities and across our country to do all the work that's needed to be done. So, you know, keep dreaming, keep imagining, show up and take some action and get involved in your community in whatever way that looks like. And that could be as simple as picking up trash to ultimately working to support and educating our children, because as we know, that they are our future.
On deck, St. Petersburg, Florida, we go with Tony. Hi, Tony. Good morning.
Good morning. I'll try to get to my points as quick as possible, because there's some facts that I want to point out that I don't think Adam has exactly right. I know he said that the carbon dioxide levels were measured at 400 parts per million. That's probably not disputable, because it probably is. But I don't think it's a greenhouse gas, as been proven by a scientist in Japan, where he grew vegetation. He grew tomatoes the size of melons in an environment that was saturated with carbon dioxide. His tomato plants were as big as palm trees. So the planet will usually regulate itself. And he's missing the point that there's this scientist. His name is John Casey. He wrote a book called Cold Sun. And him, along with many of the world's top scientists, agree that since 1990, we are on the brink of a cataclysmic ice age that's going to result in massive food shortages and social upheavals. And he has a lot of scientific data to back him up. So this whole thing about global warming is a myth that actually has to be looked at from both sides, not just one side where the facts just don't support global warming. And this whole idea of Mother Earth, which is like a pagan religion driven by environmentalists, sometimes hurts us more than it helps us. I grew up in Los Angeles, and as a kid, I used to volunteer for summer jobs up in the mountains, and I love the mountains. I was up in San Bernardino, San Gabriel, Topanga Canyon, and we used to cut fire breaks so that the fire service could get in there really quick in a fire, and it used to stop the fires, and they used to have controlled burns. And the environmentalists stopped all that because they said we were destroying the environment. Now when you have a fire, it goes unchecked and it just spreads like crazy. And the same thing with fluorescent light bulbs. You know, they say that's going to save a lot of energy. Well, mercury is a very, very heavy metal. And what are we going to drink when that mercury gets down into the groundwater? You know, I spent 23 years in the Coast Guard, and part of my job was protecting the environment, and I agree, we need very good stewardship, but we need to be very intelligent and deal with facts, not be emotional and deal with this pagan religion of Mother Earth. And that's all I got to say.
All right, you're entitled to that, and Adam, you're entitled to respond.
Well, it's nice to hear from you, Tony, and I'm with you. All sides have a seat at the table, and it's not a square table. It's really a round table, and so I appreciate your thoughtfulness and your comments, and there is a lot of controversy around global warming and climate change, and whatever side you may be on is I don't think is as relevant anymore. And let me say the reason why. And you are right about the ice age, because ultimately Earth heats up and then it melts everything, and then it'll cool off again. So that's a very real and realistic prospect. It may take hundreds, if not thousands and thousands of more years, but it's very real. So I hear you on that. But notwithstanding all of those important issues that you have addressed, it's whether you believe we have overpopulation, whether you believe in if there's environmental degradation or not, or whether whatever it may be, we can sit around and debate that till the end of time. But at the end of the day, I think what we should really ask ourselves is, how are we supporting the greater vitality of not only humanity, but how are we supporting the greater vitality and sustainability? And when I say sustainability, I don't say it as some environmentalist, because I'm not. I come from a place of conservation, very different than environmentalist. Because ultimately, sustainability is about prosperity. So I believe the conversation is, our sustainability and prosperity is threatened by numerous forces, and Earth changes are they're afoot. From what cause or another, we don't need to debate it, but they're afoot. How do we address that? How do we align with that? So it's all an important conversation. And thank you, Tony, for being part of it and sharing your thoughts with us tonight.
Let's go to Angie in Medford, Oregon. Hey, Angie, thanks for calling.
Thank you, George. Adam, I appreciate your viewpoints on, taking care of Earth. I believe in the Bible and that we are stewards, in fact, of the Earth. That's one of our main commandments. We're supposed to be stewards of the Earth and the animals on the Earth. And we're doing a poor job of it. I agree with you there. However, in the last 10 years, I'm a native Oregonian. I've spent probably the least amount of time up in the woods than I ever have in my lifetime. And I'm in my mid-40s. And that's because we've got fires, really bad fires.
Yeah, you sure do. And they're not,
when we had controlled burns, when we were doing deforestation and harvesting and replanting, that was under control. We did not have the destruction of the trees from these beetles that are coming out and destroying the trees, and we're watching them die and fall and be burning material.
And just so everybody knows, Angie, controlled burns are where firefighters will intentionally start fires in order to burn down brush and things like that, correct?
Correct. To clean up the underbrush.
Yes. Absolutely. It seems like you got a lot of people that think we should be doing even more, Adam.
Well, absolutely. I hear you, Angie. And, obviously we have a couple major fires right here in California. I grew up in a fire zone and been subject to a lot of fire for a lot of different reasons, and a lot of it is because we are underfunded in particular in managing our forest. In California, we have very little funds to operate our open spaces and to manage some of the things that need to be managed, i.e. controlled burns. Mm-hmm. So attention has been taken away from these issues, and at the same time, humanity and man has intruded deeply into areas and wilderness areas, and as a result of that, we're seeing the consequences. And lived and grew up in Malibu for many years, and saw quite a bit of devastation around fires Sadly, perhaps there's likely more of it to come. because of a variety of things that you have pointed out. But notwithstanding that, nature still holds a great gift, I think, as we all know. And it's I hope you still get out in the woods and enjoy it. And because there's so much to offer around that, but we certainly need to address a little more consciously how we manage our forest. And shockingly, the statistics are quite low on a nationwide basis from the federal government. Less than, I believe, approximately $500 million goes into really, you know, foresty management across the country and with issues like fire. So got a lot of work to do and a greatly understaffed to manage what we do have.
And you know, where you talk about urban gardens, there's nothing like biting into a homegrown tomato, Adam.
That's
the best.
That's great, Joy. There's nothing like seeing a young child, you know, growing the tomato and bringing it home to his mom and his dad to say, look what I have, a big, bright, ripe tomato, Mom.
I used to plant pumpkins when I was a kid for Halloween, and I didn't know that you're supposed to roll them around as they're growing, so they wouldn't get a flat bottom. And all mine always had like a little flat face on it, but they were great for carving and putting outside as jack-o'-lanterns, I'll tell you. Adam, thanks. The book, of course, The Earth Keeper, available all over the place, I take it?
All over the place, and I encourage everybody to support their local independent bookstores. These folks are doing a lot of great work for our community. So independents, go independents. We want to keep them alive and well. So, but you can get it anywhere on Amazon or Barnes or wherever's most convenient.
Good luck, Adam. Maybe we'll meet up in Kona one day. Thank you. For Nathan Staten, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Timothy Banal, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, George Knapp, John B. Wells, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safer.